only one bill on the agenda today, Senator McQuaid. Welcome to the committee. Senate File 1119 is in front of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to plug in my PowerPoint here. Let me know when you can see it.
We can see it.
Great. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for agreeing to hear Senate File 1119, my bill to require notification on apps, platforms, and websites to be turned off in Minnesota. That sentence can be a little jargony, so I'm going to break it down, and I have some visuals. With the advancement of AI, many things are possible today that would have been unimaginable even 5 years ago, some good and some bad. For example, if you go into Facebook today, you can ask it to make an AI-generated picture of you with different features. So here I've asked Facebook to make a picture of me with purple hair. Here's what I came up with. Just for your enjoyment, I did ask that they make a picture of me in my mid-30s because I didn't think this looked like me. And it made a picture of an old lady. She was like 65 years old, maybe older. But if I ask Facebook to make a picture of me naked, it won't do that. It says, I can't do that. Can I help you with something else? And to be clear, Facebook can do that. It just doesn't have the function turned off. This is true for many generative AI programs that we're familiar with. But there are apps, platforms, and websites that will nudify a picture of someone and that will take a video or a picture of them clothed and then depict them naked or engaged in sexual acts. Or will take an already existing pornographic video or image and then take someone's face and put that on that and generate a new pornographic image or video so it appears that the clothed person is now the naked person in the image or video. And because AI is both very advanced at this point as well as trained on pictures and videos of naked people that already exist, the nudified photos and videos look very real. So I think a lot of people think AI looks like what I showed you before. It's realistic, but it's clearly not a real picture of a person. It's something between a realistic drawing and a real picture. But this is what actually AI looks like now. This is an AI photo. Now, I can tell you, and I think we didn't zoom in on this anymore. I'll show you the flaws here. There's 1, 2, 3 knees here. This, true to AI, they still haven't gotten hands and fingers right, so that's how you can tell. But if you were a casual viewer, if you were scrolling through a social media platform, you would not know that that picture was not real. So here's what that means for us. Any person can take a picture of any one of us from online, in the grocery store, walking down the street, put it into an app, and create a real-looking photo or video of us naked. And they could put that on social media. It means that any person can take a picture of our children, our grandchildren, from online, the grocery store, playing at the park, put it into an app, and create a real-looking pornographic video of them naked. These apps are available on every cell phone, every computer, for every person of any age. They're downloadable in the Apple Store and the Google Store. And it is creating real problems, especially for kids. So my bill simply requires that apps, platforms, and websites have the nudification functions turn off. They can still make pictures of people with purple hair, however inaccurate the age may be, but they cannot nudify them. This legislature took great strides to prohibit the dissemination of non-consensual sexual deepfakes in 2023. But we based that law off the prohibition on non-consensual dissemination of sexual imagery, or the revenge porn law. That crime in the revenge porn law is when dissemination happens. And while basing laws on already existing legal frameworks is usually the best way to move forward, there was one mistake in criminalizing the dissemination of deepfakes, and it's because the harm here is in the creation. They shouldn't be made in the first place. Make no mistake, these apps, platforms, and websites are as easy to access as ChatGPT. Children are nudifying their classmates, their teachers, their friends' siblings. Adults are nudifying children. In fact, just 6 days after this bill was first heard in the Judiciary Committee, this former school district employee was federally indicted for taking photos of children he worked with and using AI technology to create sexual abuse images. You will hear from my testifiers how much this technology can ruin lives. It shouldn't be available anywhere, but we control Minnesota, and it shouldn't be available to Minnesotans. And with that, Mr. Chair, I would turn it over to my testifiers.
Thank you, Senator. Can Megan Hurley and Jessica Guistolis please come forward? Senator McQuaid, you have an amendment, but we can get to that after the testifiers, maybe.
Sounds good, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Hurley, please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Megan Hurley. I'm a lifelong resident of Minnesota and here today to share my experience as a victim of deepfake and face swap technology. I learned this past summer in June of 2024, a man I'd known for over 20 years and once considered a close friend used a picture I posted to my private Facebook page and an easily accessible website he was paying for to make hyper-realistic nude images and pornographic videos of me and around 80 other women, most of whom also call Minnesota home. This has created irreversible harm to me and these other women. I cannot overstate the damage this technology has done. It broke me open to be violated in this way. I missed 2 months of work, depleted my savings, and went into debt to try and recover from this, as well as to identify and notify these other women. My workplace has made great efforts at cost to them and a loss to myself to make me feel safe at work. I'll let you know, I'm a massage therapist, which is a profession that's unfortunately already sexualized. I've been humiliated. I have never taken nudes. I have never exchanged nudes with anyone. However, because of this easily accessible technology, there will be porn of me on the internet forever. It is far too easy for one person to use their phone or computer and one of these sites or apps to make synthetic intimate imagery of you, your friends, your family, your children. And I do not understand why this technology needs to exist and find it abhorrent that there are companies making money in this way. I'm happy to support this stronger legislation to hold these companies accountable and help prevent harm to other Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hurley. Appreciate your courage. Ms. Gistolis, please introduce yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon, members of the Senate. Before I begin, I want to thank Senator McQuaid for inviting me here to speak today, and I will in advance apologize for my voice being a little shaky. I'm kind of uncomfortable talking about this in public so far. Hello, my name is Jessica Guistolis. I am a Minnesota resident for over 25 years, and I am here today to share my direct experience as a victim of deepfake and face swap technology. I strongly urge your support for SF-1119. This bill offers a vital step in protecting Minnesotans from the devastating consequences of this technology, and I implore your support for its swift passage. In June 2024, I was made aware that a former roommate of my now husband and I, someone I trusted, considered a close friend, for over 20 years used a family photo from my private Facebook account to create multiple pornographic videos and images. Not just one, but multiple. Not just of me, but of over 80 other women, some of whom my brave friends are still working to identify today. I cannot overstate the harm this technology has caused. I was afraid to leave my house for weeks. I suffered and still suffer trying to understand who to trust. When I go out with my husband for dinner, I look around and wonder who knows that I am one of them. But for me, this damage extends beyond my persistent anxiety and feelings of re-victimization. Because these images now live on the internet forever, my career is in jeopardy. Not knowing if or where these images have been distributed, I had to contact my HR department and let them know what happened. Every time I apply to a job, I will have to disclose this experience because I do not know where these images are. Additionally, I, like many of you, cannot simply delete my image from the internet. I am a public face of my company, the company that I work for. I am published in articles, webinars, blog posts. I am engaged in speaking engagements. And because my image is publicly available through my professional roles, it continues to be easily accessible for this malicious use. This highlights a pretty critical point. In my opinion, anyone with an online presence, whether personal or professional, is a potential target. Shortly after learning of this violation, I had to attend a conference that I was speaking at. On day one, I was in a room full of women supporting women in technology, a safe space for me. A camera shutter clicked. I'm sure for pictures for the conference website. But in that moment, I was not just in a room full of women supporting women. I was also sent to the darkest corners of the internet with one shutter click. I also ended up back in my room with a panic attack. The ease with which these non-consensual images can be created and disseminated means that no one is truly immune. The internet is forever. The damage done is irreversible. Therefore, I respectfully urge each of you to vote in favor for SF-1119. By passing this bill, you will be sending a clear message that Minnesota values the safety and the dignity of its citizens in the face of this emerging threat. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Gisselies. Great job on the testimony. Senator, we have the A-10. Did you want to describe it for us?
Sure. The A-10 amendment, members and Mr. Chair, it just repeats the same language that we have in other parts of law around Section 230. So it basically is bobby pins and hairspray, if you will. It doesn't change the intent or the outcome of the bill, but I think it does provide some comfort to folks. So that is the amendment.
Senator Rasmussen offers the A-10. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? A-10 is adopted. Questions or comments from the committee on the bill as amended? Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first off, thank you, Senator McQuaid, for working on this issue and really appreciate your testifiers coming and sharing their story today so that we can understand this issue. One question I had, Senator McQuaid, is on page one, line 14 of the bill, where we talk about a person who owns or controls a website, and it goes on to list how we're defining nudification in this bill. And I want to understand, so this bill is basically going after the individuals who have these software programs or these different applications that do the nudification. Is that right? This isn't going after the users, the person that are using the tools. This is going after the person who is providing that tool. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Rasmussen, yes. And I think a thing to know about how the nudification works. So most of the apps don't just do nudification. I mean, that's why people mainly use them. I think somewhere around 90% of AI imagery on the internet is pornographic in nature. But kids who use it will go and they'll try to make themselves into Legos or Hobbits. But because this is available as part of that app or that website, it'll kind of take them there. And that's why this is so prolific with kids. And thinking about who is at fault here, it really is like we don't want this to be created at all. And so it's going after the folks who have the ability to turn off this function. We could, I suppose, criminalize the possession or the creation of deepfake sexual imagery. But when it's so easy to make, people are just going to keep making it. And that was where we kind of landed with this. So it was a good question. Thank you.
Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator McQuaid. I think that's helpful. And one question I have kind of in that same page one, line 14, where it says a person, is that a natural person? Like, is that like a human being that is engaging that has liability? Or is it broader than that? I'm just trying to understand what when we say a person, that can be defined differently in different parts of law.
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Rasmussen, it's a person as we've defined in law to be, I think business, also a corporation can also be part of it. It's a person as we've defined it in parts of law as it relates to ownership of things.
Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator McQuaid. Yeah, I just think that's important that we define those things so that there aren't questions later on. And but I appreciate helping answer some of those questions.
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will add that part of the reason we put the word controls in there is there was a fear about what if someone hacks something and turns it on or makes it usable. So in that instance, a person would be in control of that website if they've hacked it, and so it was to make sure whoever is in control of it is liable.
Mr. Chair, one more
Senator
question.
Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator McQuaid. And I agree that notification applications and software should be banned. I don't think they have any place in our society. I guess one question I have is, we obviously have a lot of AI technology that is out there, and I'll kind of talk about it as like the structural AI technology, where, you know, whether it's a ChatGPT or some of these other companies that provide AI platforms for people to use. And in your bill, I'm just trying to understand the demarcation. If you had someone who is using that kind of broader technology for bad things, it would just be the person that's creating the notification application. It wouldn't necessarily be the back end technology that they're utilizing. I'm trying to figure out like where that line is. Does that make sense?
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think your question makes sense. I'm going to answer what I think it is, and then you tell me if I'm answering your question. The reason I use the Facebook example is because it is very easy, and most, I would say, commercial AI, generative AI that maybe some of us use doesn't have this turned on. Like, if you go into ChatGPT and you ask it to make a nudified photo, it won't do it. And the reason why is because that's how the code is written, right? They train AI on real pictures and images and videos of real people. But when you build what it can do, like you say what it can and can't do. And so it is to go after what it allows it to do. So if you're using an AI, I guess, foundation, as you described it, to then build a platform that does nudify, if it allows it to do that, it would be everyone who's involved in that chain of that notification. So we want this turned off. And I will just note, too, that this is a federal bill. This should be a federal bill. And we are shopping this out to other states. Maryland, I think, is interested in Colorado, Utah. But in the absence of federal action, I think this is one way to start getting at what I hope becomes a federal bill.
Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator McQuaid. And I thank you. I think that does answer my question, so thank you. The only thing, again, I think we need to prohibit notification. I just think this can be like a very complicated ecosystem, and I just want to make sure that we're going after the bad actors who are letting this happen, and you know, not necessarily having a chilling effect on AI technology overall in Minnesota, because I think there are some benefits, but we need to make sure that we're going after something that is clearly a harm to Minnesota.
Senator McQuaid, a couple questions just came to my mind based on your answers. Do you know if other states have legislation like this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the question. So I actually just spoke with a senator in Maryland yesterday, and I've spoken to legislators in Colorado. But to my knowledge, most are maybe 2 years behind us and going after the dissemination of sexual deepfake AI imagery. They haven't gotten here yet.
So if I'm a Minnesota resident and I go on Photoshop app or whatever and try to nudify, but that app is sort of based out of New York City or the Philippines or something, and they allow me to do it, are we able to sort of pursue them? This might be more a question for industry experts or the council, but do you know, will Minnesota law be able to capture their violation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not a lawyer. I could just play one on TV. But the way that we have this... the way that we have this structured is that if a Minnesotan is allowed to access it, if a user is allowed to access it in Minnesota, then it would give the ability to go after them wherever they may be based.
Okay. Further questions from the committee? Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And could you tell me, Senator, the states that already have something like this, do you know what kind of penalties they're charging or what kind of penalties they have in their bill versus what we have here?
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Dame. So we would be the first state to pass a bill like this. And we did go in judiciary kind of back and forth on the penalties. So it has shifted a little bit. So we did kind of pull a number from the air, but wanted to have it be one that is strong enough to really deter this kind of behavior in Minnesota, or to deter this kind of access to be allowed in Minnesota.
Senator Davis.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair. My only concern is if you have a young person, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, they should not be doing this, and I fully support that. I am concerned about the stiffness of the penalty, because if they were actually fined $500,000 and people started assessing their wages and stuff like that, I mean, these people probably will never see the light of day when it comes to get out of under that. So, you know, is that what we're looking for, or just they need to be penalized? Not a problem. I don't have a problem with the bill, but I do think that might be a pretty stiff penalty. But I'm not so sure what all you went through to arrive at it. So just if you just comment on that.
And Senator McQuaid, I think the penalty would actually be on the platform or the app that generated the image, but I'll let you answer. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yes, you're correct. So, Senator Dames, we made a strategic decision with this bill to, instead of criminalize an individual person who does it, to actually say that that technology shouldn't be available to individuals, and that it's the fact that it's being made available in the first place is the problem. And so, you know, as I kind of said to Senator Rasmussen, we could go down the route where we criminalize making it. That's not going to stop people from making it. And especially because it's so easy to access, right? Kids just download the app on their phone and here it is. And so, and why would they think that an app that they could download on their phone and something they could do on their phone is illegal with such ease and regularity? Turn myself into a Lego, turn my teacher nude. And that's why we're actually going upstream to try to solve the problem.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Frantz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Senator. Count on my yes vote on your bill, and thank you, testifiers. I know it's hard to come here, but it magnifies the impact of your testimony. Now we have it. We will take it with us and share it. So thank you for that. I actually did have a question on a slightly different. I thought I heard you say people are going to do it anyway, so we don't want to criminalize it. Am I getting that correctly?
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Frantz. Yeah.
Okay. Just, you know, for the committee's benefit and not affecting your bill at all, I wonder whether there's room to ask whether that behavior actually is criminal, and to be consistent, whether maybe on a different committee we would look someday to that question. I'm not proposing that the platforms themselves shouldn't be criminalized, but, you know, at the moment that it's done intentionally, which is the testimony here, sounds like a criminal act. So just throwing it out there, Mr. Chair, again, count on my yes vote. Thank you, Senator, and thank you, testifiers.
Senator Rest.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question first of you. What is the next step for this bill?
This is the Committee of Jurisdiction. This will be laid over. This is the Committee of Jurisdiction. We'll lay this over for possible
You're laying
inclusion.
It over? When it comes back up, Senator McQuaid, I have a real problem with the 10%. Using 10, being able to use 10% of a grant for administration. We have been cutting back on that percentage over and over and over again in bills that that are before committees for programs that we have for in state agencies in the tax bill. That limit is going to be 3% toward the department. We have seen, and we're trying to curb that a lot in the Finance Committee. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't sit on Finance, of course, but I work closely with Senator Marty on the costs of grant administration. And I can assure you, respectfully, that 10% is too high.
Senator Rest, can you show us where in the bill there are grants?
Yes, it is on, where is it? I saw it first. Oh. I just read it.
2.27.
Oh, yes. It's 226, 227, up to 10% of the appropriation is available for grant administration. What we've also experienced is when something says up to 10%, they spend 10%. And we've been trying to be in this age much more tight-fisted with money that is set aside from the purpose of the grant to pay for grant administration.
Response, Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rest. I 100% agree with you and have been doing that in other committees I'm on, and I might look to Senator Seeberger to help me out a little bit, because this, so this last piece that you're seeing here from 2.14 to 2.27, this was an amendment that was added in Judiciary per a recommendation from Senator Kroon and worked on with Senator Umar-Verbaten on where the money should go once, if there's damages that are awarded to the state. And so, so we worked on that, and from what I understand is that this 10% of the appropriation for grant administration is specific to the Office of Justice Programs because of the type of grants that they're awarding. It's there's smaller amounts to more people. I believe that is why it was what I was told, and again, I would maybe look to Senator Seeberger because she's on the Judiciary Committee and probably deals with this agency a lot more than I ever do, but I was advised that by members of the Judiciary Committee, which is why you see it here. I'm not married to it in any way. I was just trying to follow their expertise.
Mr.
Senator Ress.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we have run into these issues where a, maybe that would never be that much, I don't, but where a grant that was $1 million all of a sudden is not $1 million, it's $900,000 because $100,000 of it was allowed for to a nonprofit for grant administration. And it has been, it is one of the things we look at in the Legislative Audit Commission, which is a ripe place for fraud. So just letting you know, it is a grave concern when the percentage of a grant is is this high, that we need to pay attention to. And Senator Marty and I have a bill on it. I won't go into that now. Please please take a hard look at that, because I will be doing so too.
Senator Seeberger, your name was mentioned. Did you have any comment on the 2.27?
I don't. I can't shed any more light on it than Senator McCoy did. I'm sorry.
Senator McCoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This part is new and, while important, not the deal breaker for the bill. I would maybe just, I would want to talk to the two senators on the Judiciary Committee that I worked on it with, but whatever the prerogative of the chair, and as you move it through finance, feel free to do what is necessary.
Senator Rust, are you interested in offering a verbal amendment at this time?
No, Mr. Chairman. I just want to alert us to the problem.
All right.
I mean, it's the first time I'm Senate, seen it. I'm not, I like the policy. I just don't want it to get into trouble.
I misspoke earlier. This will be laid over here, but it will be included, I believe, in the Judiciary Omnibus.
So. Maybe I make a suggestion at a later time.
Yeah. Sounds good. Any further committee questions or feedback? Senator McQuaid, any closing comments?
No. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate the committee's time. And Senator Friends, you bring up a really, really interesting point about criminalizing making this, and it's something we talked about a lot in making this bill, because we've criminalized the dissemination of sexual deepfakes, and hopefully here now we can prohibit the making them. I think the issue that we continue to come back to is how to prove something is AI, especially with how realistic it is nowadays, and it's going to become more and more difficult. And so instead of trying to go after individual people, it was just like, let's just not have them be made. And I think a lot of them will be kids. I think that's my greatest fear, is that we have a lot of kids wrapped up in the juvenile justice system for a thing they can access on their phone. But your point is very well taken.
Senator Rest. I mean, Senator Friends.
Basically the same, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mostly just mentioned it, Senator, because we want to have this bill and others deter behavior. And I hear you. Just more, keep it in mind as we go through. I'm with you. We don't want to put out law that becomes unworkable or raises some other questions, but I do think we want to deter the behavior. And, you know, the quickest way the IRS gets compliance is they put a big-ass fine on you if you don't file on time. And I think if we want to reduce this, we could ask about the actors themselves. I also think it sends the right message for this particular type of criminal activity. Worth looking to see what we might do to deter it in that way. And by the way, on the grant administration, you know, when you get to finance, you can amend it that way. We've had this discussion a million times. Do they use too much? And count on me to count on me if it were to get to finance through the judiciary omnibus to work with you if you want to talk about that. I'm with Senator Rest. We want to make sure those administration dollars are not, you know, more than they should be. Anyway, thank you, Senator. Thank
so
you.
So just to clarify the pathway, since I misspoke earlier, this will be laid over here. It will likely be carried in the judiciary omnibus, which will go to finance, and there would be the opportunity
okay.
there to,
all right. Fine.
You know, to adjust that number.
That's why I was raising the question.
Yeah. No, you got to figure it out. With that, Senate File 1119 as amended is laid over. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Committee is adjourned.